Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Economics Report and American Mosaic, coming up after As It Is.
Hello once again, and welcome back to the program that helps you learn and improve your American English. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Many of you write to us and ask for stories about what is going on in the United States. Well, today's program answers your requests. First, we will tell about a worldwide problem that many do not think even exists in the United States. But it does. The problem of human trafficking has gotten so bad that the U.S. Congress has taken action. We'll give you the details in just a few moments. Then we will introduce you to a woman who, until recently, held a very powerful job in the United States. Her sudden loss of that position has caused many Americans to again think about how women fit in as managers and leaders. Do they still face problems in the job market that men do not face? There you have it. Two stories about things that people in this country are talking about. As the Voice of America said when it first went on the air during World War II, the news may be good or bad, but we will tell you the truth. Human trafficking exists in almost every area of the world. Children, young women, and even men can become trapped and forced into the sex trade and involuntary labor. Many Americans think of human trafficking as a problem that exists far away from the United States. But the U.S. government says as many as 17,500 people are trafficked within this country every year. That number does not include those who are kidnapped and forced to become sex slaves within U.S. borders. Now, the House of Representatives has taken action to help the victims and punish those responsible. Chandra Woworuntu is a survivor of human trafficking. She met with House members in Washington this week. She spoke in support of damage payments and other government services to help victims. Chandra is from Indonesia. She is college-educated and worked as a financial specialist in her country until she lost her job because of political unrest. She came to the United States in 2001. At the time, she thought she had been offered a job in the hospitality industry. Instead, she was kidnapped at a New York airport and forced into sex slavery.
During my arrival, someone picked me up and they put me into the van. They took my passport, they took my return ticket, and at the same day, I was trafficked into underground sex business.
Chandra escaped, and her trafficker is now in prison. She received help from a non-profit group. She is now working to make people better informed on the problem of human trafficking. The two main parties in the U.S. Congress agree on five bills to help state and local governments develop victim center programs. Under the proposals, the governments would train law enforcement officers to rescue victims and not treat them as sex workers. Eric Cantor of Virginia is the House Majority Leader.
And we must confront this issue head on, not just as Republicans, not just as Democrats, but as dads, as moms, as sisters and brothers. We must protect our children.
New York Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney has worked to fight human trafficking around the world for more than 10 years.
And there is no crime on earth more appalling, no offense as terrible, no act of depravity as harmful to the community of a nation, and certainly to the individuals affected.
The five bills also seek to reduce the demand for human trafficking. They do this by urging police and judges to treat those who have sex with children as human traffickers, not everyday criminals. The average age for girls forced into sex slavery is 13. The average age for boys is 12. The first woman to serve as executive editor of the New York Times was dismissed last week. Jill Abramson had led the newspaper since 2011. Her sudden firing has raised the issue of differences between the pay of men and women at American companies. It also raised questions about whether female supervisors are treated differently than supervisors who are male. Jonathan Evans has more on the story.
Jill Abramson was at Wake Forest University in North Carolina on Monday. She spoke at a ceremony to recognize Wake Forest students for completing their studies. The speech came less than a week after Ms. Abramson was ousted as the top editor at one of the best-known newspapers in the United States. She told the graduating students about rejection and resilience, the ability to bounce back.
And now I'm talking to anyone who's been dumped. You bet. Not gotten the job you really wanted or received those horrible rejection letters from grad school. You know the sting of losing or not getting something you badly want. When that happens, show what you are made of.
The publisher of the New York Times says Ms. Abramson was replaced because of her management style. Some reports say she was ousted after claiming that she was paid less than the man she replaced as executive editor. Whatever the real reason, the case has led to a debate in the United States about women's equality in the workplace and in society. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton spoke about the general issue at a recent World Bank conference.
Women's equal, full participation, their voice and agency, is not only the right thing to do, but the smart thing, and that it will make a difference to the prosperity and stability of societies.
John Ryder is a psychologist, someone who studies behavior and mental processes. He deals with workplace issues. He said respect and trust are important for both men and women in leadership.
What I would urge is that not only do women stand up and ask for respect, ask for equal treatment under whatever the laws are, but that men also ask themselves how important it is for us to trust one another.
He says the failure of a supervisor to ask other top officials for their opinion can lead to big trouble. Some reports say this may have been an issue in Jill Abramson's dismissal.
She did not want to reveal all the cards she's playing with. And that created tension between her and the management that she was unable to resolve.
Recent university graduates are asking the same questions as Ms. Abramson.
What's next for me? I don't know. So I'm in exactly the same boat as many of you.
Her dismissal from one of the top media jobs in the U.S. will continue to create debate about women's struggle for workplace equality. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. If you are listening on the radio, there are two more Learning English programs headed your way, and World News at the beginning of the hour. If you are trying to learn and improve your American English, go to our website at learningenglish.voanews.com. You will find many programs that we just don't have the time to broadcast on the air. If you click on the audio links, you can listen to and even download and save on your computer podcasts of all the As It Is programs. Thank you for spending some time with us today. This is VOA from Washington.
The Economics Report is next, followed by American Mosaic. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Economics Report. Small markets are an important part of South Africa's economy. These businesses offer jobs in a country with an unemployment rate of at least 25%. But immigrant-owned and international businesses are increasing their share of South African markets. That has hurt local traders, who run little shops called spazas.
This year I bought what they call twin silver.
John Stioli has owned his spaza for more than 10 years. It is a small gray building in Dube Village in the Soweto area of the capital, Johannesburg. His small store offers many kinds of goods, from soap to sweets. Spaza means just getting by. The shops are found in non-white communities where larger, more official stores are not available or are too costly. There are about 100,000 spazas in South Africa. They employ 290,000 people. But few have paid attention to the part these stores can play in creating jobs. Research shows that what is called the informal sector in Africa is very large. Informal workers can be self-employed or wage earners. Last year, the African Development Bank said the informal sector provides about 55% of the economic productivity of African countries south of the Sahara Desert. But business has been slow for Mr. Stioli. He is competing with a nearby store run by a family from Pakistan.
Last day, I am struggling.
South Africa is the only country in the area where refugees and asylum seekers can move freely and have the right to work. South Africa is the only hope of living and working in peace for people who have fled countries like Somalia and Zimbabwe. But reduced profits for native traders and high unemployment rates have caused tensions in the country. Immigrants are accused of taking jobs from South Africans. Some also believe immigrants hurt South African shopkeepers by selling goods at lower prices. In September, more than 100 Somali-owned spazas were attacked during 4 days of unrest in the city of Port Elizabeth. The South African Spaza and Tuck Shop Association is seeking to train local traders to build skills. Rose Nkosi is president of the association. She says local spazas offer the community credit and 24-hour service. That is something their competitors do not. And that is the Economics Report from VOA Learning English. I'm Mario Ritter.
Welcome to American Mosaic from VOA Learning English. I'm June Sims. Today on the show, we hear from the new album by country star Dierks Bentley. We also tell about a NASA effort to get students interested in science. But first, we go to an art museum in Washington. More than 200 artworks by some of America's best artists have returned home to a museum in Washington, D.C. The paintings had been traveling to shows around the world for the last 4 years. Now they are on exhibit at the Phillips Collection again. Mario Ritter reports.
The exhibit is called Made in the USA, American Masters from the Phillips Collection. It includes the work of more than 100 American artists. All the paintings were created between 1850 and about 1970. Museum founder Duncan Phillips collected the artwork from the end of World War I until his death in 1966.
This show is really an opportunity to bring out artists who are underrecognized.
That is exhibit organizer Susan Frank. She says Duncan Phillips bought the works at a time when European artists were more in demand.
He was determined that he would dedicate this museum to living American artists and lift up American art out of obscurity and give it the same presence that European works were given by his contemporary collectors and other museums.
She says 80% of the art in the Phillips collection is American. The earliest works date from the beginning of the late 19th century and include paintings by such famous artists as Winslow Homer and Arthur B. Davies. The exhibit ends with extraordinary examples of post-war abstract expressionism. The art of this final period uses color and forms, not to represent objects, but to show emotion and creativity. Susan Frank says Duncan Phillips often developed a personal relationship with the artists whose works he collected. Sometimes that relationship included financial support.
Most well-known, of course, is his engagement with the abstract American artist Arthur Dove, whose work he discovered in the mid-1920s.
Duncan Phillips lent his support to many immigrant artists as well. Susan Frank says he considered their cultural differences as something that expanded the American experience.
Phillips always believed and championed American art as including all of the world, because so many artists were immigrants who came here from being foreign-born, who brought their cultural aesthetics with them and synthesized them with their American experience. And he celebrated their approach to their American experience as being something that enriched us.
The museum is hoping that the exhibit will excite people about the wide mix of American art in the first half of the 20th century. It also seeks to educate people about how Duncan Phillips helped lift American modern art to the level of European masterworks of the same time.
Some students in California got a rare chance to speak with astronauts in space through a recent video link. The event was part of an effort by the U.S. space agency, NASA, to excite young people about science.
Station, this is Houston. Are you ready for the event?
And we are ready for the event.
Hundreds of college and high school students gathered at California State University, Los Angeles, for the NASA video link with the International Space Station.
Cal State, Los Angeles, this is Mission Control, Houston. Please call station for a voice check.
Station, this is Dean Emily Allen of Cal State, Los Angeles. How do you hear me?
At the other end of the link were three astronauts floating almost 400 kilometers above the Earth.
The students learned about the professional paths that led Americans Rick Mastracchio and Mike Hopkins and Japan's Koichi Wakata into space. Engineering student Maria Mangia asked astronaut Mastracchio the first question.
How did you overcome your greatest obstacle on the road to becoming an astronaut?
I went and got a master's degree, got a job as an engineer, and eventually applied as an astronaut. So I think my interest in space and science and my abilities in mathematics had a direct relationship on how I ended up here.
Students asked a wide mix of questions. The three astronauts talked about their long work days, phone calls home, and exercise in the evening. It is all done in a weightless environment. Rick Mastracchio says that often makes impossible things easy, and easy things difficult. Astronaut Mike Hopkins turned head over heels to demonstrate. Engineering student Jeremy Blair says he learned about the astronauts by observing how they behaved with each other.
To me, it looked like they were all friends. You know, every time they started laughing, they looked back at each other and they laughed with each other about the jokes. So, I mean, that's kind of, I never really thought about how harmonious the crew was up there.
Student Virginia Mejia learned something else: to keep trying.
You know, never stop dreaming, never. Because, like, even they said, I applied 4 times, 9 times, you know, in a period of like 9 years, 12 years. It's like, wow, you know, they never gave up.
NASA educator Becky Camus says one question comes up with every video link at schools around the country.
They always ask questions about what does it take to become you? And I think the answer is, you know, it takes passion and dedication, and every single one of these students is capable of that.
11 graduates of the California State University system have gone on to become NASA astronauts. A 12th might be among the students of the current graduating class.
There ain't much to do here in this town. When the work is done and the sun goes down.
Dierks Bentley is at the top of Billboard Magazine's country charts. His album, Riser, came out February 25th. It sold 63,000 copies in its first week. Katie Weaver plays us some of the songs on Riser.
It's just an old beat-up truck. Some say that I should trade up now that I got some jangle in my pocket. But what they don't understand is it's the miles that make a man. I wouldn't trade that thing in for a rocket. What they don't know is my dad and me, we drove her out to Tennessee. She's still here, now he's gone. So I hold on. It's just an old beat-up box, it's rusty strings across the top. It probably don't look like much to you, but these dents and scratches in the wood, yeah, that's what makes it sound so good. To me, it's better than brand new. You see this here flat-top guitar's had my back in a million bars, singing every country song. So I hold on.
That is the song, I Hold On, from Dierks Bentley's new album, Riser. Dierks Bentley has had a lot happen in his life in the last couple of years. His father died in 2012. His first son was born the next year. Riser is an emotional album. Bentley told a reporter that the song Here on Earth is inspired by his dad. It is about the unanswerable questions that come up when someone dies.
Standing here on this cold ground, tears falling down in the dirt. This world keeps spinning round and round, but you're lying still in the earth. Don't wanna swim in this darkness, drown in a whiskey sea. But there's no making sense of the senseless, why this pain is killing me. There's not a stone in my heart I've left unturned, not a piece of my soul that I ain't searched. The only answer I found for all this hurt is there ain't no answer here on earth.
Dierks Bentley is doing a series of shows in support of Riser. Bentley has said he misses his family when he is gone, but he says music is his love too. We leave you with the title song from Dierks Bentley's new album, Riser.
Lay your pretty head down on my shoulder. You don't have to worry anymore. This old world is cold and getting colder, and I know how to lock and bolt the door. I'm strong enough to hold you through the winter, mean enough to stare your demons down. The hard times put the shine into the diamond. That keep us in the ground. I'm a riser. I'm a get up off the ground. Don't run and hide her. Pushing comes to shoving. Hey, I'm a fighter. When darkness comes to town, I'm a lighter. I get out alive.
I'm June Sims. Our program was written and produced by Katie Weaver. Do you have a question about American life, people, or places? Send an email to learningenglish@voanews.com. We might answer your question in a future show. You can also visit our website at learningenglish.voanews.com to find transcripts and audio of our shows. Join us again next week for American Mosaic from VOA Learning English.
Hey, I'm a fighter. When darkness comes to town, I'm a lighter. I get out. Down low so I can lift you higher. An army couldn't keep down my desire.